Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Anchor Church podcast. It is our desire at the Anchor to provide a place for you to know God, find freedom, discover your God-given purpose, and ultimately make a difference in the world around you. Each week, the Anchor podcast features Sunday sermons. You can follow along in this podcast episode and read the sermon notes on our website by visiting theanchor.me. Now, let's get into the Word.
Good morning, y'all. Y'all doing all right? Yeah, so good to see you guys here today. All right, so what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to share a pretty practical message with you that I hope and pray will be beneficial to every person in the room. If you've been walking with Jesus for years, or if you're just, you know, fresh into the family, I hope this speaks to you. So let's pray, and we'll jump in. So Jesus, thank you for every person that's here this morning. God, I know that you love every single one of us, God, and you have great things in mind for every one of our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you for the anointing that allows us to receive from heaven today. And so, Lord, if there's any hindrance, anything that would keep us from hearing what we need to hear today, Lord, we just rebuke that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that, as your word says, that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So, Lord, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your presence. Take this simple message and help it bring life to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as a young Christian, I was taught a basic approach to prayer through an acronym called ACTS, A-C-T-S. Now, each letter in that acronym represented, for a lack of a better word, a step in prayer. And I just want to give them to you really quick. So A stood for adore or adoration. In other words, that was the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name moment in prayer. In other words, where we take our attention off of ourselves and we put it on God and we honor him for who he really is. The C stands for confession. That's pretty self-explanatory. That's where obviously we acknowledge our sin to the Lord. And then T, that was thanksgiving. In other words, that's where we took a moment to express our gratitude to God for who he is, all of his blessings in our life, all the prayers that he answered, where we just, you know, take a posture of not entitlement, but a posture of gratefulness. And the last one was supplication. I know it's not a word we use that often, but that was simply where we would make our requests known to God. In other words, we begin to ask God for certain things, not only for ourselves, but also for others. Now, the reason I bring that up is by using this acronym, I was encouraged to take a couple of minutes each day and pray through those four areas. In other words, use the Word of God, spend time praying through every one of those, and just follow the Holy Spirit wherever he leads you. And so, you know, hindsight, you know, 27 years later, honestly, that was a very useful tool to help me learn how to pray as a young man. Now, while I could probably spend loads of hours just talking about those four things, what I want us to actually focus on today is the C in that acronym, which again stands for confession. Now, the reason I want to talk about this today is because I am wholeheartedly convinced that one of the reasons why people stall out in their spiritual journey and don't move past, keyword, long-standing spiritual obstacles, spiritual issues, is because they don't value confession. In the sense that this, they take it too lightly, or they're way too vague in their confession, in their repentance. And so I want to share a verse with you, kind of just to get us off and running. It's a familiar verse. It's 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Let's look at it together. It says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." It says, "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth." Verse 9 is our key verse. It says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness," or all unrighteousness, as another translation says. And then verse 10 says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." Good passage. Now, according to what we just read, if we are, A, going to experience forgiveness of our sins, and B, if we're going to be cleansed from sin's negative effects in our lives, then you and I got to learn what it truly means to confess our sins. So on that note, let's quickly just lay a foundation. The most basic definition of confession, I think we all know, is to simply acknowledge our sin. But what I want us to do is take a deeper look at that and understand for you and I, as followers of Jesus, confession is admitting that our thinking and our behavior aren't in agreement with God's ways or his character. That confession is admitting that our thinking and our behavior, that they aren't in agreement, aren't in line with God's ways or his character. And what I mean by that is when you and I confess our sins, we're not only admitting that what we've done is wrong, but we are equally admitting that God is right, that he and he alone has set the standard for righteous living, not you and I. Amen? Now, what's so beautiful about this is that verse 7 says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. This means that our confession, when you and I confess our sin, it is the meeting point between our sin and the blood of Jesus. That when we confess our sin, our sinfulness collides with God's righteousness and the blood of Jesus, and he washes our hearts clean. Good news. Like, is there anybody in here today that's grateful that the blood of Jesus is greater and stronger than our sin? Amen. Amen. Now, what I think is so funny about this topic is this, is even though most of us would agree that that's true, over the past 20 plus years, I've discovered that a lot of Christians rather hide their sin than confess it. Right? And that, like, that probably shouldn't surprise us, since that's exactly what's been happening from the beginning. We've read this verse several times lately, but Genesis 3, 8, and 9 says this. This is after Adam and Eve sinned. It says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And then it says this in verse 9, then the Lord called to man, where are you? Like, where are you at? Now, I find it super interesting that in the Jewish tradition, that question where God said, where are you, man, it is seen as an invitation to confession. That God was inviting them, Adam and Eve, to come clean so that they could become clean. Like, but obviously we know the story. We know they didn't take it. Why they chose not to is a mystery to me. But I do know this. In my experience, two main reasons why I think people today don't confess their sins is because of, number one, it's because of pride. Right? They think they are right and they are justified in what they did. And this may sound so silly, but in our head, we somehow tell ourselves, if God would just understand, he would know I'm right and he's wrong. Yes. The second reason is this is the more than one I want to sit on because it's the more important one to me today, is that I think a lot of people don't confess their sin because they have a misconception of the Father's heart. Like, it's super unfortunate because if we would simply just keep reading Genesis chapter 3, we would see the Father's heart towards you and I when we sin. It says this in verse 21. It says, for Adam also and for his wife, both of them, the Lord God made long coats or tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, from a theological standpoint, we understand that God chose to sacrifice an innocent animal to cover the effects of their sin. We know that that was a type, it was a symbol, it was a foretelling of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But it also reveals to you and I the Father's heart towards our sin. You see, the reason I think it's so important is because so many people, what I think they miss when they read the Bible is they read it and they think that basically the Bible is a story of an angry God who is tired of putting up with us and he's longing to get even. Right? Like, so many of us have been taught that in the past. Like, God's just mad at you, right? And I just think, man, on the contrary, when I read the Bible, yes, even in the Old Testament, man, I still see a story of hope, of mercy, of grace, of love, and redemption, right? So, like, I see a story where God isn't appalled by sinful people. Rather, he is drawn to them. Y'all agree with that? Like, think about Mark 2:17 just for a moment. It says, when Jesus heard this, he said to them, those who are healthy have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. And then he makes a strong point. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners who recognize their sin and humbly seek forgiveness. Like, to me, it's so important that you and I understand that that wasn't just some fancy slogan or some words that Jesus said, but he actually lived that out. Like, if you read the Gospels, you see that on display again and again and again and again. Let me give you a few examples. If you go to Luke chapter 5, you find Peter. We know that's when he been fishing all night, caught no fish, and Jesus said, hey, throw the net on the other side, to caught this massive thing of fish. And when he gets up to the shore, the Bible says that Peter fell down at Jesus' feet, and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Jesus didn't run from him at that moment. He simply said this, come follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. He called him in the midst of all of that mess, right? Go to and think about Zacchaeus, the little guy, right? Climbed a tree. He's the tax collector. He was the most hated man in town. And Jesus said, hey, I'm coming to your house to eat dinner tonight. And that one encounter with Jesus wrecked him so much. He said, I'm going to give back to everybody that I've done wrong. I'm a changed man. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to your house. Like, think about Matthew. You and I have the Gospel of Matthew. Once again, another hated tax collector. Jesus one day just rolled by the tax booth, and he didn't say, you're awful, you're trash, you're this. No, he said, hey, come follow me. Let me show you what life's really about. Right? So even think about this. Think about the time that he bent down the dirt and he began to draw in it. And, you know, the Bible says the accusers of the woman who were caught in adultery, as Jesus drew, they began to drop their stones one by one. And what did Jesus say to the woman after they all left? Where are your accusers? She said, they're all gone, sir. To which he responded, what? Then neither do I condemn you. And then key part, go and sin no more. There's life change in that, right? So even think about this, two more. Think about the time that Jesus pointed out that there was two men praying in the temple, and one man was talking about how amazing he was. He was a self-righteous Pharisee, but then there was a tax collector who was beating his chest, said, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Jesus said the Father rejected that guy's prayer, but he accepted the other one's. And probably my favorite in all the scriptures, Luke chapter 15, we know this is in the prodigal son, you know, parable. What did Jesus say? He said that when the prodigal son, the guy who was heaping, you know, up neck deep in sin, when that guy was coming home, he was walking down the road, and Jesus said this, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was moved with compassion, and he ran and he embraced him and he kissed him. Like, what was Jesus doing in all of that, gang? He was demonstrating the heart of the Father towards you and I. Yeah. Amen. All right, so let me just say it again, man. The Bible isn't a story of an angry God that's looking at all of us as some huge disappointment, like we're some piece of trash that he's just like, so disgusted with, right? When you read the Bible, you see a loving and pursuing Father who wants to forgive us. Why? Because he delights in mercy. He loves us. We're his kids, right? So I think what's so awesome about this, and let me bring a balancing statement here because this is key, is that a part of what I'm so grateful about when it comes to the love of God is that through all of that stuff, like, the Father never lowered his standard of holiness. Right? Like, he just found a way through the blood of his son to make you and I holy and blameless in his sight, where you and I, it's like, man, our holiness isn't dependent on our performance. Thank God for that. But it depends on us trusting his mercy and his grace. Now, that doesn't mean there's not repentance. That doesn't mean there's not transformation. All that goes together. But at the end of the day, he who knew no sin became sin, once again, to why? So that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Great news. Amen? All right, so let me say something I think is really key when it talks about, when it comes to this topic of confession. Something that's been highlighted to me, maybe I would say for the past few years, is that I've noticed that the people who tend to hide from God, hide from people, and they kind of refuse to bring their sins to the Father. What I've seen as I've watched those people, that they try to resolve the condemnation, the shame and the guilt that they feel. They try to deal with all that. We'll call it by self-medicating. Okay? And what I mean by that is because they're feeling all of that shame and the guilt. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to resolve that turmoil inside. And so they inevitably try to mask it or drown it out and of what they're feeling deep inside. Now, once again, when I say this, I'm saying this because I'm hoping that whatever and however maybe someone's doing this room, that they would understand, yeah, that's me, and be able to admit that. I may not know what your thing is, but here's how I've seen it with people. They drink way too much alcohol. They do drugs. They have sex with folks outside of the confines of marriage, right? Pornography, like they go headlong in it. I've seen people try to solve what's inside of them by becoming workaholics. I've seen people try to fix that by shoving food down their mouth nonstop, right? I've seen people try to stay on the go constantly. If I can keep myself busy, I'm not going to get quiet and I'm not going to have to deal with what's on the inside of me. If I dive strong enough into that hobby and make every free moment about that, or if I watch every show that's available on Netflix and Hulu and Prime Video and whatever, Tubi, whatever else is available, then maybe I can somehow, not have to face that. Like I've seen it. But what people don't understand is they fail to realize that the solution to sin is never more sin. Like, you don't fix sin by sin. Right? Like, if we can understand, Solomon describes the person that we're talking about. He says it this way in Proverbs 26:11. This is kind of a disgusting scripture, but it says, like a dog that returns to his vomit. It's not pretty, right? Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his foolishness. What's Solomon describing? He's describing a person who sins, knows that they sin, and rather learning from their mistake, they just turn around and keep repeating the same sin. They compound the problem, and it never fixes anything. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So with that in mind, I want to quickly point out just reality here. There's probably not a single person in this room that doesn't wish that they could, hit the rewind button, go back some years, and either edit or erase some things from their life. Like, I know I wish I could, right? But you and I know that life doesn't come with a rewind button, right? So rather than, trying to fix our own guilt and shame by ourselves, like we need to realize, the only way that we can resolve what's inside of us isn't running from God and hiding from God, because that's what condemnation wants you to do. Instead, we need to turn towards God. Because why? Because he loves us, and he is the only one that has the power to exchange our feelings of guilt and shame with peace and joy. And it's through this thing called genuine forgiveness and freedom. Like, I hope we all understand, when Jesus died for us, it wasn't just so, okay, your sins are forgiven. Now you're going to struggle for the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years. But by golly, we hope you get to heaven. Wrong gospel if that's when you believed. The Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means rescued from all of that mess, made whole, healed, delivered. There's a place of freedom and wholeness that Jesus has made available to us through his blood. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So let's turn our attention to the process of confession really quick. And I know this is simple, but man, please pay attention. Because confession and repentance is how God deals with our sin, the first thing he does when you and I blow it is he convicts us. Right? Deep inside, we start feeling unsettled, uneasy, and where we used to have a sense of peace, man, that thing is gone. Like, we start feeling like something is wrong, something is off. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so like, if you value the peace of God in your life, you know that's an awful feeling, and you're like, man, I will do anything to get out of this spot. Yeah? Amen. All right. So let me maybe pause here for a second, because I think I need to say something today. Like, I realized over the last few years, we've had a significant amount of people that have come into the church that really, how can I say this? They're new Christians. They're freshly saved. They don't know a whole lot about God. And so what you're going to find, the more you say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I want to serve you, I want to know you, the more your heart is prone to walk with God, what's going to happen is the things that used to didn't bother you are going to start bothering you, right? Like, how you used to be able to tell somebody what's up, you know what I'm saying? Tell them what's up, what you think. Now you're going to feel a check. I shouldn't have done that. You're going to watch something that used to didn't even bother you. You could watch for hours. Now it bothers you. Right? There's whatever the scenario is, things you used to do, it could be an attitude, it could be a motive, whatever it is, the more you say, Jesus, I want to know you, he's going to start actually helping you learn how to guard your heart so you can be pure, so you can walk with him. And that conviction is the thing that's trying to keep you pure. Right? And so I would encourage you guys, instead of brushing that off, respond. Respond to it by what we're talking about, because those people who I've seen over the years who don't respond, their heart gets callous and hard, and they begin to act like that sin's no sin, It's okay for them. It's right. Even though it's right there in the Bible, they just ignore it. And I want you to know, if you're at that spot, according to the Bible, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be there. We want the Holy Spirit to have free access to our hearts and know that, man, I want to walk with you, Jesus. I want to walk with you, Holy Spirit. You lead me. And if we want to be pure and really know God and walk with God, then we have to respond. And I'm telling you, it's not some, you know, legalistic thing. But, man, I'm telling you, Jesus cares about what you look at. Jesus cares about what you listen to. Jesus cares about what you expose yourself to, of what you watch and how you interact with people. Why? Because he loves people. He loves you. Purity is a big deal with him. Amen? Amen. All right. So watch this. When that conviction comes, if you're like, I don't know why it's there, here's the secret. Go ask him. Instead of wondering, just simply go ask, Lord, why am I experiencing this conviction? And what I've learned about God is he'll never leave you guessing. He'll never leave you in the dark. If he convicts you, it's because he's going to be very specific with you about something because he wants you to get victory. Amen? Now, when he shows us why, we need to understand that at that point, he's inviting us to do three things. This is really where I want to sit for a moment. He wants us to do three things. He wants us to name it. He wants us to own it. And he wants us to confess it. He wants us to name it. He wants us to own it. And he wants us to confess it. Because you see, we read that amazing promise earlier out of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, faithful to forgive us. But we have to understand that our confession is our cooperation with that promise. That promise does not work without confession. Amen? So number one, let's talk about it. We got to name it. Here's what I mean. Instead of generalizing it by like going, okay, Lord, I just ask that you'd forgive me for my sins that I've committed over the last 10 years. Whatever they are, Lord, right? We need to get specific and we need to call it what it is. Like the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize that I need to say, if it's pride, it's pride. Lord, forgive me for being prideful in that situation. If it's anger, Lord, forgive me for being angry. Like, let me just go down a list. If it's fear, if it's laziness, if it's gluttony, if it's adultery or some sexual sin, if it's hate, if it's bitterness, if it's porn, if it's lust, if it's lying, if it's unbelief, if it's rebellion, envy, jealousy, right, selfishness, covetousness, if it's gossip, man, whatever it is, rather than going, Lord, you know, No. I need to, rather than dance around thing, I need to say, this is the issue. Let me call it for what it is. Let me be specific. Let me name it. That's it, Lord. It goes like this. Lord, when that woman walked by, I checked her out and I thought some things very unholy in my brain. Here's what I thought, Jesus. Are y'all acting like he don't even know? I think it's so funny that when it comes time to confess, like, Lord, that woman said this and made me so angry. I was ready to take out my earrings and I was ready to snatch her hair out of her head and claw her eyeballs out. That's for you ladies. I know y'all get catty. Woo, man, my Lord. Side note, men are so different. We punch you and we hug later and go fishing, right? Oh, whatever. You guys, y'all like, I hate that person forever. Anyways, it's, well, Jesus, help me. All right. So my point is simply this. If you want to get free, then you got to say what it is and bring it to the light. Because there's something about when you identify what it is, it exposes its power over you. And it helps you get free. You know, the only analogy I can kind of give you there is earlier we read Mark chapter 2. We know that Jesus is called the great physician. When you and I go to the doctor when we're sick, man, do we give him a general idea of what's going on? Do we say, I hurt? Good luck with that, doctor, right? Okay. The doctor needs a detailed description, right, of your symptoms if he's going to be able to actually give you an accurate diagnosis and help you move forward. And once again, I'm not saying that like the Lord doesn't already know, but there's something about, once again, when you confess what your symptoms are and you're completely honest with him, it, you know, that's how you begin to experience wholeness. Amen? All right, second thing he's inviting us to do is to own it. Like, we got to own it. I've stood up here for hours and hours and hours and hours over the last 8.5 years, and I've talked about, you know, for whatever reason, man, we tend to blame our sin on everybody and everything. Like, we don't take responsibility for it. I don't know why that's our natural tendency, but we do it. But if you and I are ever going to experience true forgiveness, we got to stop blaming others, and we got to take full ownership. Like, right, full ownership. Because the truth is, y'all listen, nobody is responsible for your decisions but you. Right? If we sinned, it's because we chose to sin. Nobody made us do it. Like, my mind goes, I used to live with a guy years ago when I was still single. He would always say, the devil made me do it. Oh, Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson, they made anybody sin. The devil hadn't made anybody sin. Your mama, your dad, that person that did something, they didn't make you sin. You chose to sin. Amen? All right, so remember what we read at the beginning. Once again, if we confess our sin, that's ownership. Our sin, then he is faithful to forgive us. So it requires ownership. Now, the best example I can give you of this is found in Psalm 51. This is the psalm that David wrote after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and when he had her husband killed. Now, I basically capitalized some words in here because I want to prove the point of what a man of God did after he blew it big time. Okay? Watch this. It says this in verse 1. David talking, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Fast forward to verse 7. Purify me from my sins, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Y'all seeing this? Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. That's ownership. Yeah? Like, notice he didn't write, you and I don't have a psalm, okay? Out of all the psalms, it says somehow where David said, well, God, if she wouldn't have been on the roof bathing so I could see her, if she wasn't so smoking hot, right? Like, I wouldn't have sinned if she wouldn't have did what she did, then I wouldn't have sinned. And notice he didn't say, well, if her husband would have just bowed out and understood that I was the man. That I was the king, right? If he had just recognized he lost, right? And he had gone, then I wouldn't have had to kill him, Lord. How often, I know that's like dramatic on that end, but like how often do we do similar things like that? All the time. We get in a fight with our spouse and we go tell the Lord their problem. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. I do it too, and I keep getting rebuked. All right. What's it? But David said what? He said, against you and you alone have I sinned, O God. Purify me from my sin. He owned 100% of his actions. There's a piece of a book called Soul Care that I really like. Here's what the author said. He said, God cannot cleanse our excuses. God cannot pardon our denials. God cannot cleanse that which we will not confess. God cannot heal that which we will not admit. There is no freedom without forgiveness, and there's no forgiveness without repentance. Hiding creates darkness, and darkness destroys the soul. You must resolve to walk in the light with God and others. Yes, and amen. After we name it and own it, then God invites us to number 3 is to confess it. Now, this to me is where things get super interesting. It's because confession is like a coin. It's got two sides. There's the part where we have confession towards God, and there's where we confess with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? Let me give you two verses. 1 Timothy 2:5, this is talking about confession to God. It says, for there is only one God and only one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. It's confession to God. Now, watch this next verse because it's key for this point. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. That word healed actually means so that you may be restored, made whole, and set free. I don't know why, but God chose in his infinite wisdom that one of the ways that we get healed is by confessing our sins to one another and praying for one another. I don't understand why he did it, but he did it that way. So if we want healing the way he talks about, then we got to obey the word. Amen? Now, on that note, have you ever noticed that's a whole lot easier to say sorry to God than it is to confess your sins to somebody else? Anybody? Yeah. So over the past couple of years, I've actually begun to notice a pattern or a common theme, not just in this church, but in churches. And it's this, is that when people walk into a church, they tend to look around and they start to feel like they are the only ones who are struggling with sin. Like, let's say someone visits and they go, man, all these people in this room are holy and they got it to all together. I'm the bum in the room that doesn't have a clue, right? And so what happens is because they feel that way, they begin to be hesitant to admit their failures and the shortcomings to the people that they're close to, right? And the reason is because they don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want someone's opinion of them to change. They're afraid somebody's going to look down on them. Someone's going to reject them. And so instead of doing what James taught us and finding freedom that we all desire, man, they live behind a mask. And so what I want to do, everybody just lean in here. I just want to say, can we acknowledge that lie today? Yes. Like, can we acknowledge the fact that first and foremost, this may bother some of y'all, but first and foremost, man, we are a room full of sinners that have been and are being saved by grace. Like, we are a fellowship of broken people that Jesus is in the process of healing and fixing. Amen? And so I just think this, like, there's nobody in the room that's perfect. No one has arrived, right? We're all still growing. That's you, that's me, that's everybody from our pastoral staff. Man, that's all of us, man. And I believe if we can just get a hold of that, we would actually stop for a minute and go, man, this is a really safe place. Like, this is a grace-filled, no judgment spot. Right? Amen. Amen. I'll amen myself. Amen. All right. So what I'm trying to say is James is telling you and I that you and I are not alone in our sins. So if we can just somehow get the courage to confess our sins to one another, that you and I would actually start the ball rolling so that we could experience the supernatural transforming power that heals that we can only find together. Right? Now, the best example I can give you of this, y'all please hear what I'm about to say, is several years ago, Pastor Tommy and I, we went down to Austin, Texas. We were hanging out with some of our friends at their church. And while we were there, we heard about a man who had been attending what we would call a Cultivate group. Okay? And this man had been in his Cultivate group for several months. And if you've ever done Cultivate around here, you know that we encourage people to do what we're talking about. Right? That it's a safe place. It's a place to grow. Like, ask any question. Man, this is where, if it's in there, let's talk about it. Because why? Because we want to help people move forward in Jesus, right? And so in a very similar fashion, that's what was going on in their group. And after months and months and months of being with each other, one day, a man in that group basically confessed to everybody's surprise that years before they got saved, they actually had a sex change. And that his name wasn't really that, but her name was this. And she said, look, basically loads of tears. I know it was a mistake. I now know this is what God wanted for my life. This is where I was at then. This is the decision I made. And now I'm basically trying to figure out what are my next steps to go forward where God wants to take me. And I want you to know at that moment, that group of men's men, we're talking about Texas, they had an opportunity to go either two ways. They could have rejected her or they could have accepted her, right? So they gathered around her, began to weep with her, hugged her. They didn't shun, didn't reject. They began to pray and say, you know what? We're committed with you to figure out what the next step in your journey is. We're going to do it however we're going together. Pretty powerful, right? And what was so awesome, not only, you know, once again, I'm really struggling if I should share this, but I just want to say, because this is my experience. We heard that 2-3 days later, we're in a retreat where they kind of do their freedom night like we do in Cultivate 2, except they do it as a retreat. And there was about 300 people in a circle all pointing outward. And they asked the leaders and they asked Tommy and I to join them to basically go lay hands and pray for people so that they could find freedom. And it was like the Lord, I don't know if he's ever done this to you, was like, bing, 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 over her. And I looked, I never met her, dressed like a dude, haircut like a dude. But if you look right here, you see this beautiful woman. And I went over there, and I just put my hand on her shoulder, right, began to pray. Jesus began to talk to me about her, gave me a word of knowledge, and I began to pray. And she grabbed my hand, like, and just started squeezing it. And you know how when the Holy Ghost gets on you, right, and began to weep. And basically, before she went on the ground, she went to her knees, and I saw the Master show up and begin to cleanse and heal and restore and do what he can only do. Amen? Amen. You know, I would say, and I think every pastor on staff here would say, that it is a privilege to be able to sit in a spot and literally, all the years we've been doing this, I guarantee you none of us can count how many people have sat in our offices over the years and revealed their deepest, darkest secrets, right, that they're so ashamed of. And when they begin to confess those things, they begin to bring what was once in darkness into the light, and Jesus shows up. It's not because we're amazing counselors. It's because we know the counselor. Right? And sometimes we don't know what to say, but we simply just pray with them and we watch Jesus break off generational stuff from their past. They could have been 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. We've seen God do about it all. Amen? So it's amazing. And what my point is this, is that, man, we're all screwed up somehow, but it's amazing that Jesus keeps showing up in his mercy to forgive us and to restore us. Amen? Amen. Let me read this quote to you from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Simple but powerful quote. He said this, "A man who confesses his sins in the presence of a brother knows that he is no longer alone with himself." That's what happens in the office. "He experiences the presence of God and the reality of the other person. As long as I am by myself, the confession of my sins, everything remains in the dark. But in the presence of a brother, the sin has been brought into the light." See, what happens in that moment, if I can just kind of put a book in and we'll land this thing, is unconfessed sin, guys. Everybody listen. Unconfessed sin. I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord a week or if you've been with him for 30, 40, 50 years. Unconfessed sin leaves the door open to the enemy. Right? And it gives him an access point into your lives to continue to affect you in a negative way. Like you may go, I don't see how. Look at your relationships. Pay attention to what you feel on the inside. Are you walking in peace? Are you walking in joy? Are you whole? Are there trigger points where somebody says something and you lose your mind? Like all that stuff, there's an open door somewhere that Jesus wants to help you close. Amen? And so what I'm saying is confession and repentance closes that door and doesn't just close it, it locks it and tosses the key away. It's freedom. Amen? All right. So main point, overarching, is that we cannot walk in true freedom and be healed and made whole until we learn how to confess our sin, first to God and secondly to one another. Now, when it comes to that one another, I want you to know that's about someone that's trustworthy, that understands confidentiality, and that's a super safe place, that has a relationship with God and knows how to connect with God for you. Amen? Let me give you this verse that I woke up yesterday and it was ringing in my heart. Joel 2:13, I love this verse. It says, "Rend your heart and not your garments." This is what God's after. Rend your heart and not your garments. In Joel's day, there was a practice where when someone sinned, they would rip their garment as a superficial outward sign that says, look, I blew it. And Jesus was like, no. I'm done with the superficial. I'm coming after your heart. So you need to rend your heart. You need to get on the inside. Let me, give me access to the inside so I can begin to change things. And notice what happens when you and I start doing the fluff thing. How do we rip our garments? We show up at church and act like it's all good. I prayed today. I read a Bible verse. Y'all, it's so much deeper than all that. Jesus is way deeper than a Bible verse. Y'all should have said amen. All right. Watch this. So, but when you rend your heart, notice what happens. Return to the Lord your God. That's what you do in repentance. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Notice when you rend your heart, you're not colliding with an angry God. You're colliding with a loving God. Amen? Amen. Can you stand to your feet? Here's what I want to challenge you this week. As you kind of go about your normal routine with Jesus, is to actually spend some time and get quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, where are the open doors at? Do I need to confess some sin? Listen, Jesus may take you, y'all listen please, Jesus may take you back to when you were a child. He may take you to when you were a teenager, or he may bring you all the way up to today. Okay, but however it is, you need to respond to it, because what he's going to do when he shows you things, you need to confess your sin about that. Get specific. What he's doing is he's just trying to close doors. He's trying to heal you. He's trying to make you whole. Amen? Amen. Chris, will you come and pray? The reason I'm asking Chris to pray today, Pastor Chris, come on up here, man, is because if you've ever heard his testimony, I love the fact that obviously got radically saved, got delivered, got full of the Holy Ghost, all those cool things. But there was a moment in time where the Lord was like, no. We're gonna deal with some open doors in your life. And literally, he sat, hours? And God took him to all these doors that he had opened all the way from a child and ran him all the way through of repentance and confession so that deliverance and healing could happen in his life. And so I'm asking him to pray, because it's coming not from some head knowledge. It's coming from a heart that's been changed by what we are talking about today. Amen? Can y'all close your eyes, please? We're going to pray and we'll be done.
Jesus, we're so thankful for who you are and what you did for us and what you continue to do for us, God. If we will honor you, if we will love you, if we will pursue you, if we will open our heart to you. So today, God, we surrender our hearts wholly and completely, God. We don't just open the front door and invite you into the living room. God, we invite you into every area of our life, every door that's closed, every closet we think nobody's seen in years. Jesus, we invite you into those places where we're keeping some of our deepest and darkest secrets. Lord, we invite you to bring your light and shine it to where we've been holding on to darkness for years, God. It says in your presence there can be no darkness. That light casts out all darkness. So, God, we just invite the love of your light into our life. And we're so thankful, God, that when you find that stuff, when you're going through our closets and you're going through those deep areas in our heart, God, that you don't look at us with disgust, Lord, but as we've cried and we've wept and we've struggled with these things that we've held on to for years, you're weeping along with us. Lord, that you're a father who cares and your heart breaks for the things that breaks ours. So Jesus, I just ask this week that as we pursue you and we allow you to come into our hearts, Lord, we surrender. We just say, God, we open every door in our hearts, every closet, every nook and cranny, God. We give you permission to come and to deal with it, Lord. We come and we confess our hearts holy to you, Jesus. There's nothing we don't want to hide from you. We know we can't hide it from you. So we're just thankful, God, that you love us through it, that you're not this God of one chance or two chances, God, but you're a God who will continually and constantly meet us where we are as we're trying to reach you in perfection. So Jesus, we just, again, meet us where we are this week. We ask that you would just come and wreck our hearts. Bring to mind those things, either even from the very deep recesses of our childhood that we need to deal with, whether it's unforgiveness, unconfessed sin. And then, Lord, just put people on our hearts. Put people on our hearts that you want us to go and seek. People on our hearts that you know that we can trust, Lord, so that we can go and confess and with one another come before you and bring things into the light. Lord, we don't want to hide in the dark anymore. We don't want to let the darkness steal the freedom that you died for. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. freedom. Not eventual freedom, not a little bit of freedom, but complete and total freedom. So Jesus, we're thankful for your freedom. And we ask that you would just come and have your way in our hearts. Meet us where we are, God. We love you and we surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for encouragement in your walk with God and to receive updates on events happening at The Anchor. Have a great week and God bless.